Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today, the focus of Route 51 again turns to politics as we continue our candidate forums by focusing on the 35th Assembly District, which covers portions of Lincoln, Langlade, and Oneida counties. We have two candidates in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio this afternoon, Democrat Jay Schmeling and Republican Tom Tiffany. There is no incumbent on the November 2nd ballot because of the retirement of current Assemblyman Republican Don Frisky. Jay Schmeling spent 32 years in the construction industry. He has worked on construction projects at a number of Wisconsin River Valley paper mills, at Merrill Schools, and for Langlade Memorial Hospital. He is the former executive director of the Wisconsin Pipe Trades Association. He has supported renewable energy with the Bioindustry Alliance. He and his wife, Debbie, have four children. Tom Tiffany grew up on a dairy farm. He and his wife, Chris, operate an excursion business called Wisconsin River Cruises. He is a former candidate for the state Senate and serves as the Little Rice Town Supervisor and also as a member of the Oneida County Economic Development Corporation, the Tomahawk Chamber of Commerce, and the National Rifle Association. He and Chris have three children. As always, this is your show, and your questions and comments are welcome. If you'd like to talk to Jay Schmeling or Tom Tiffany, please give us a call toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jay, let's start with you. We'll just go alphabetical order here. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to run.
Well, you know, I've lived in worked, and raised a family in North Central Wisconsin for nearly 40 years, and it's a place that I love and always intend to call home. I was fortunate to be able to raise my four kids on a family farm back when that was still possible. Of course, I also ran a small plumbing business at the time, and you know, it's become increasingly difficult for people to stay here and make a living in our part of the state. You know, my own family is a prime example. My kids had to move away in order to pursue their career. And you know what? They took my grandchildren with them. And, you know, that was a sad time for me. And it was a sad realization that more opportunity lies elsewhere than it does in our own area with all that we have to offer. And I think that's a feeling that a lot of listeners, you know, can share. But it's been a real focus of mine to believe, I mean, I guess it motivated me to believe that I could draw on my own experience in business development and my own experience in the construction industry in creating jobs to make a difference. And that's really what motivates me to run.
Tom Tiffany, same question. Tell us about your background, why you decided to run, what's important to you.
Grew up on a dairy farm and matriculated over on the west side of the state, matriculated here to northern Wisconsin over 20 years ago, and have owned my own business for 20 years now. I've managed and owned businesses now for over two decades, and I really see the tax and regulatory here in the state of Wisconsin as being quite cumbersome, and it's part of the reason that we're seeing our economy struggle here in the state of Wisconsin. I worked for 7 years in southern Minnesota when I was just out of college from UW River Falls. And it's really interesting to look at the comparison between the two states. Minnesota now has a $5,000 per capita income higher than we do in Wisconsin. You know, 25 years ago, we were even. And Minnesota, Wisconsin have always been pretty similar states. But over the last 25 years, we've went in the wrong direction. And I really look at the irresponsible, what I believe is irresponsible budgeting, especially in this last budget that was passed by the state legislature and Governor Doyle, and the amount of red tape that is out there, very high taxes. In fact, one of our state senators here in northern Wisconsin characterized the budget of last year as having enough tax and fee increases in it to sink a good-sized battleship. Well, that battleship is the state of Wisconsin, and we have to turn that around.
How's the business going?
Business is going fine. We're fortunate that we have our business, that we have our excursion boat paid for, because it has been a little bit slower. And if you know, for people that are familiar with the tourism hospitality industry in northern Wisconsin, it's definitely been slower the last couple years.
And, Jay, you had a step down from the Pipe Trade Association, or you decided to do that when you decided to run?
I did. I've really focused on this office for a very long time. I began the process of putting my name on the ballot back in 1999 when Tom Areta first stepped down, the last time it was an open seat. And the closer that I got to putting my name on the ballot and learning about the campaign, learning about the position, my wife and I just decided that with four kids in school, it was not the proper time, that something was going to suffer. Either the family was going to suffer or the job was going to suffer. And I ran in 2008 against Don Frisky. I was getting fed up with the partisan polarization and the bickering and the gotcha politics that was being played in Madison. And I thought that was the time that I would throw my hat in the ring. And Don decided not to run this year.
Tom Tiffany, you were a former candidate for the state Senate against Jim Holprin.
Yes, I ran in 2008 against Jim Holprin.
So you both have tested the legislative waters, and one of you is going to succeed this time. I think it's safe to say that. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot on the agenda down in Madison and for the people in the 35th Assembly District, but we've also got some callers on the line right now, and I don't want to keep them waiting too much longer. So let's go to Chris in Athens. Chris, you're on Route 51 with Tom Tiffany and Jay Schmeling.
Thanks for taking my call. I guess I got a quick question in regards to what your feelings are for the change in the prevailing wage. I am on the village board in Athens, and the prevailing wage law change will definitely impact our budget this year. And with funds being tight, I was just looking for your thoughts on prevailing wage, and I'll take your answer off the air, and I'll thank you guys very much for your time.
All right. Chris, thanks so much for the phone call. Which one of you wants to take that first?
I'd be happy to take that one first. This is Tom Tiffany, and the prevailing wage law, the change was made in last year's budget. It was $234,000, and it was reduced down to $25,000 that any public works projects had to pay the big city union scale. And what it's done is, I'm a town supervisor up in the town of Little Rice, and it's driven up the cost of public works projects. Consequently, that falls on the property taxpayer. If I was to be elected to the state assembly, I would propose to change that prevailing wage at least back to what it was before the latest budget.
The prevailing wage changes that were made in the previous session really brought it in line with the federal Davis-Bacon Act and back to what it used to be. And I understand that there are some things that probably need to be looked at for small municipalities, small local government. But one of the things that it does address is when you get on large projects, the construction industry is kind of a hotbed for undocumented workers. And it just gives the state an opportunity to make sure that we don't have undocumented workers on projects that are using state funds. And my opponent's characterization of what prevailing wage is not correct. It's not any kind of big union wage or bureaucrat sets a prevailing wage. Every year, a survey is sent out to all the contractors, a voluntary survey that they can or turn in if they care to, and it ask them to list all the private sector jobs that they worked on, how much they paid on the check and in benefits. And those surveys are turned in, and they're actually put on the Department of Workforce Development website for everyone to look at and check for accuracy.
But isn't that wage set higher than it would have been otherwise? I think that's what Tom Tiffany was...
It's every county. Every county gets their own wage. Whatever wage that prevailed in that county the year before is the wage that is established. And the prevailing wage has been around for a very, very long time. But I understand that it's had some impact on the smaller municipal governments. And I think it probably will get looked at again during this next session.
Tom Tiffany?
Yeah, I just comment there. It is artificially set higher. We're seeing that at the local unit of government. I'm a town supervisor in Little Rice, and we've seen it. And the problem is not undocumented workers. We know the contractors that we work with. They don't have illegal aliens working for them. I believe that that's a red herring. And there's real-world examples out there. There's a town hall being built up in the Merrill area where the town chairman estimated that it could cost them up to $50,000 more to build that town hall as a result of the prevailing wage law. As sitting on the Oneida County Economic Development Corporation, our executive director has had to steer around the prevailing wage law. It created a new regulation, a new mandate that has caused them to have to do more paperwork and things like that. And that's the kind of thing that is really holding Wisconsin back in terms of job creation and getting our economy going, is having these artificial rules and regulations.
But shouldn't people who are doing hard physical labor, shouldn't they be paid a decent wage?
Absolutely, and the people that we...
And that's hard to do. You know, my opponent has never been in the construction industry. I've been there for over three decades, and I've seen the changes in what's happening, and there is nothing more depressing than trying to bid a job, especially a job that your own tax dollars are going to pay for, and having to bid against companies that are from outside the area, and then you wind up, you learn that they use undocumented workers on that project.
Tom Tiffany, we'll give you a quick response here, and then we're going to move on.
The contractors that we work with, they're paying up to $20 an hour to their employees, and I think they pay a fair wage.
All right, let's go to Dan in Rhinelander. Dan, you're on Route 51 with Tom Tiffany and Jay Schmeling. Hello, Dan.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'll be brief. This is a comment basically for Mr. Tiffany, or a question, a two-part question, actually. Number one, he is... critical of the DNR, pretty much, and regulation and over-regulation. Yet it would appear, you know, from his business enterprises that he takes advantage of the results of those regulations in both the Willow Flowage and the Wisconsin Rivers and cleaning them up. And I'd also like to, I'd like to ask him if there's an obvious contradiction there for him and his business and the benefits he gets from regulations put in place. I'd like to Jay to comment somewhat on what he thinks of the DNR regulations, and that's it, please.
All right, Dan, thanks so much for the phone call. Tom Tiffany, first you, and then Jay Schmeling.
I really appreciate you bringing up that point, Dan. I don't think there's a contradiction at all. We have Wisconsin River Cruises, formerly Wilderness Cruises. My wife and I have owned that same business for 20 years, and we really benefit from having clean water here in northern Wisconsin where we run our excursion boat. And we, as a legislator, I will work to have regulations that continue that and hopefully to do even better. I don't think there's a contradiction with that at all. The only thing is that you see some regulations that are excessive. I think we need to bring common sense back to the regulatory structure that we have here in the state of Wisconsin. And Dan is correct. I have been critical of the Department of Natural Resources. There are many fine people that work as wardens, biologists, and foresters within the Department of Natural Resources. The leadership in Madison has a political agenda at this point. They're no longer a natural resource management agency the way we used to have. We used to have the proudest conservation department in the entire United States, and that's been subverted. And we need new leadership in the Department of Natural Resources, sets aside the political agenda, uses settled science when they're putting out their regulations, and has regulations that are predictable.
Well, if I may, do you think that the Secretary of the DNR should be appointed, or should be separate from the political?
That was exactly the question I was about to ask, Dan. Are either of you in favor of bringing back the public intervener, or do you think that the governor should continue to appoint the secretary? And Dan, thanks so much for the phone call. We've got to move on here. Jay?
I was in favor of the independently appointed secretary. And as far as I know, my opponent is opposed to that. It certainly set up an unusual spectacle in Madison when Jim Doyle vetoed it after saying that he would sign that bill, and all the Republicans voted to uphold his veto.
So you're a Democrat running for office here, and you're criticizing your Democratic governor on this issue.
Yes, he campaigned twice on giving sportsmen and DNR employees back the independently appointed DNR secretary. And he turned his back on him. And
Tom Tiffany, a public intervener, separate from a political appointment, or should the governor continue to appoint the head of the DNR?
Well, I think there's a couple separate issues there. I would not support the public intervener. What I'm more concerned with the Department of Natural Resources, though, is the structure of the agency. It was about 15 years ago when George Meyer was DNR secretary that the last restructuring, major restructuring of the DNR occurred. And I believe he set up an agency that is circular in nature. It's no longer a line agency in terms of the responsibility from top to bottom and from bottom to top. And I think that's part of the reason why you see enormous frustration out there in the public that there's a lack of accountability within the agency. I think that's the first thing that has to be done to fix the DNR is to restructure the agency and make it a line agency.
I'm not sure where the lack of accountability is, but my opponent says that a lot. But the DNR employees that I know and that I talk to are very dedicated people. I mean, they're in that position. You know, they started with very low income, and you don't make a lot of money working for the DNR. They do it because they have a love of nature. They have a love for Wisconsin. And certainly every agency in state government always has to be reviewed and looked at.
We had a lousy deer season last year. State Senator Russ Decker said we should have fired the entire deer management team. Where do you guys stand on that?
They're deer. I've deer hunted all my life, and I had a poor year last year, and I had a poor year the year before, and I've had poor years when everybody else had a good year, and I've had good years when everybody else had poor years. We've had this discussion. If you read the book On the Hunt, you'll see that it's a series by Robert Willingly. It's a series of from newspaper articles and in history. We've had this discussion all through for the last 100 years. But the fact is, we still shoot at least 3 times more deer every year. We shot 3 times more deer last year. It's like the 10th highest on harvest on record. And I understand that there were some issues. I understand that the people who count the deer at the DNR didn't get it right, and they agreed to that. They admitted to that. I don't know that we start firing people over it.
And Tom Tiffany, very quickly.
In regards to Senator Decker, I think it's an election year. And let me be very clear. There are many fine people in the rank and file of the Department of Natural Resources. The failure is at the leadership level in Madison.
1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to Republican Tom Tiffany, Democrat Jay Schmeling, both candidates for the 35th Assembly District. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We're going to take a short break.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Our guest today on Route 51, Tom Tiffany, the Republican running for the 35th Assembly District, and his Democratic opponent, Jay Schmeling. While we're talking about sportsmen's issues, concealed carry, are you both in favor of that or opposed to it?
This is Jay, and I've got an entire gun safe full of guns. And I guess what I tell people is that I don't really fear, I fear my wife, not my government, when it comes to my gun safe full of guns. I have handguns. I hand load my own hunting ammunition. And so Second Amendment rights are very important to me, as are hunting privileges. As far as the concealed carry, I would certainly have a permit if we passed it, and I don't feel the need to carry all the time, but I do use my handgun when I'm out in the field, but that's something that I would be very in tune to what our district wants, because that's really all that matters to me, what does our district want.
You wouldn't be opposed to it?
No.
Tom Tiffany, concealed carry?
I support concealed carry, and in fact, I'm endorsed by the National Rifle Association because they know I will be a staunch defender of Second Amendment rights.
I'm going to get into something here, and we've only got a couple of minutes, so I'm just going to kind of set things up for after the news break. But we had a major scare in Tomahawk recently with Harley-Davidson almost leaving town. And as it is, the workers had to take deep pay cuts and pay freezes, and there were still layoffs. So I'd like to hear what each of you think about the Harley situation, whether you're happy with the way things worked out and what you think led to the crisis. Jay, why don't we start with you?
I don't know that, you know, first off, I watch Up Front with Mike Goucher, and twice I saw the CEO of Harley-Davidson on there asking for politicians not to politicize this. That was something that was between them and their employees. But I just read in an article, and that's the way I think it ought to be left. The CEO asked politicians just to stay out of it, but that doesn't seem to be happening. And I just read an article in the Journal Sentinel saying that at the end of September, Harley finished this quarter, and their profits are three times higher than it was a year ago. And so I think Harley has found Wisconsin a very nice place to do business. And the issue that went on between them and their employees is something that was between them and their employees.
Tom Tiffany?
Had to be really tough for the rank and file union members for Harley-Davidson. I feel for them and the decision that they had to make. But clearly, look at the state is talking about giving a subsidy to Harley-Davidson now of $25 million in various forms. While it was just a year and a half ago to balance the budget, they said, we've got to pass something called combined reporting, and that hit them with a $22.5 million tax.
I want you to hold that thought because we're going to talk about combined reporting or what Democrats call the Las Vegas loophole when we come back. Tom Tiffany and Jay Schmeling, I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with the two candidates for the 35th Assembly District, a district that covers portions of Lincoln, Langlade, and Oneida counties. That's Tom Tiffany, a businessman, the owner of Wisconsin River Cruises. I got the name of the business right, didn't I, Tom?
Yeah, you know, I'm also the dam tender on the Willow Flowage.
Okay. Seriously?
20 years. Been the dam tender on the Willow.
And we have also Jay Schmeling, who has spent a lot of time in the construction industry, and he is the former executive director of the Wisconsin Pipe Trades Association. We're talking about the issues, and we'd like to hear from you if you'd like to talk to either of them, or if you've got a question to pose to us, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Gentlemen, when we left off, we were talking about the situation in Harley-Davidson, where the company threatened to move out of Wisconsin. Workers had to take deep cuts and pay freezes, still a number of layoffs. And Tom Tiffany, you were talking about combined reporting as a factor in some of the economic troubles that they've been facing. That is something that is in dispute politically in this state. But I'd like you to elaborate on that for us and tell us how you think the combined reporting law caused problems for Harley-Davidson.
Well, I remember back in 2008 when I was running for state senate, I was attacked on this issue saying, you know, how can you not support combined reporting? We got to make those big evil corporations pay their fair share of taxes. And lo and behold, they put it in place after the 2008 elections. In fact, it was one of the first acts of the new legislature, and Governor Doyle was in the budget repair bill. They put in place combined reporting. And guess what? Harley-Davidson, amongst others, got hit with a $22.5 million tax bill. Hometown employers. Now, some people refer to them as evil corporations. I could refer to them as hometown employers. Now you see the state of Wisconsin coming back in the last month or two, announcing that we're going to give $25 million in tax incentives to Harley-Davidson. I think that's a schizophrenic economic policy on the part of state government. We can do better than that. We need to make sure that we have a moderate tax environment, reasonable regulatory environment, and then we don't have to do these things like offer incentives to a company like Harley-Davidson to stay here in the state of Wisconsin?
The argument, as I see it, is that you don't want corporations setting up dummy offices in a place like Las Vegas and hiding their profits there and not paying their fair share of the tax burden, because if they don't, then middle-class taxpayers, regular mom-and-pop people, have to foot the bill for what the corporation should be paying.
Then write the law that way, rather than hitting Harley-Davidson. I think Polaris got hit by it. Polaris moved out of Osceola, Wisconsin, 500 employees. You're hitting all these hometown employers that have some of the best-paying jobs here in the state of Wisconsin and are causing them to reconsider whether they want to be in the state of Wisconsin.
Chase Schmeling?
Look, it's not about Harley. Again, the CEO of Harley-Davidson was on Upfront with Mike Gouchet, and he said that while taxes are always an issue that we want to be vigilant about, the combined reporting has absolutely nothing to do with the decision that we're making, and we wish that politicians would just not politicize it. The reason that the combined reporting went into place is just what you described, Glenn, is we had the biggest multinational banks or countrywide banks that were in Wisconsin were not paying corporate taxes in Wisconsin, but our local community banks were. You have big chain restaurants that are not paying taxes, but our local supper clubs had to pay taxes. So by implementing the combined reporting, we were able to do things, and we want to talk about Tomahawk. We were able to, during that same budget bill, they were able to pass some jobs initiatives, and Daigle Brothers and Tomahawk was able to take advantage of a technology zone tax credit in order to add on to their business and add 13 new jobs. So while the economy is beginning to pick up, we have to be ever vigilant about our Main Street community. See, I think that the companies, there are no evil corporations, but I think that those hometown companies that he talks about, the big corporations, are very important to our economy. But I think also that they have plenty of representation in Madison. They have plenty of representation in Washington, D.C. And I don't think they need me. I'm focused on the small business community in north central Wisconsin, on the middle class families, and how are we going to utilize everything we can to be an effective partner with the small business community to get to help them create jobs, to get people back to work.
Respond to what Tom Tiffany just said. Polaris, for instance, just packed up and moved out of the state. Now, if you tax somebody to the point where they pull up their roots and move right out of the state, obviously you don't have any tax revenue coming from them anymore.
That might be true, but so are we better to shift that tax burden onto families, individuals? Are we better to shift that tax onto small business? You know, that's what I just described. We've got small businesses that are benefiting with jobs creating initiatives because it's about fair tax. Everybody should pay fair tax. So the big corporations should pay no tax because that's what we had.
Tom Tiffany?
To say that there was no impact with this is just silly. I've heard this before, that taxes are not a major component of why businesses choose to stay in the state of Wisconsin.
But what you're saying is that the largest corporations should pay no tax because that's what was happening.
No, they should pay taxes if they...
But they weren't. And if you repeal it, they're not going to again.
Let's go back to what combined reporting really is. Combined reporting is about taxing a company's facilities, their operations in other states. So a company like Harley-Davidson, the reason they got hit with that $22.5 million tax is they have operations in York, Pennsylvania, and Kansas City, Missouri. And in the wisdom of the legislature, a year and a half ago, they said, geez, we should tax them for their operations outside the state of Wisconsin. You are encouraging companies, large and small, here in the state of Wisconsin, that headquarter here. What you're saying to them by having combined reporting is you're better off moving your headquarters out of the state, and that's the incentive that has been put in place. It is counterproductive to job growth here in the state of Wisconsin. It is part of the reason we have such a poor economic climate. It's the reason why Forbes magazine, they ranked us, 47th, 48th in the country in terms of business climate.
Jay Schmeling?
The combined reporting closed the Las Vegas loophole. companies having a post office box in some state that doesn't have any corporate tax, and it shifted the burden onto local individuals, taxpayers. It shifted the burden onto small business, and that's what was killing jobs. Some of the things that were passed in the last legislature were very good for small business. You know, I was talking with a small metal manufacturing company in Merrill, and they were saying that they had a product that they believed they could get to the market and would actually be able to employ several other people. It's a small 40-person company. The obstacle that they were up against is that they have to design and install a pretreatment facility for their wastewater because of the plating system. And I was able to find out for them that during this last session, there was a bill passed. They were able to utilize a UW system in order to do the design work on that. And they looked at each other and said that that's going to save us tens of thousands of dollars, and maybe we're going to be able to move forward with this. It's about the small business in my district. That's what I'm concerned about. It's about the individual taxpayers in our district. That's who I'm concerned about. And my opponent seems to be awful concerned about big corporations in Wall Street. And they are very important. I just think they have plenty of representation.
Tom Tiffany, we'll let you respond to that, and then we're going to move on to another area.
I'm not sure why my opponent has such a disdain for large employers. There's states
I think I made it pretty clear I don't.
You're attacking them consistently, and there's a real disdain.
What
there.
Did I say that was an attack? I said they have enough representation.
Mr. Schmeling appears to feel that you, Mr. Tiffany, care more about larger employers than you do about small business. I'm going to let you respond.
I'm a small businessman. I've been involved with various chambers of commerce in northern Wisconsin, almost all small businesses. To say that is just it's a charge that is just simply inaccurate.
I want to move on to the agriculture community. What can we do to help dairy farmers? And you both spent some time on family farms. They've been hit so hard by fluctuating milk prices. Is there anything we can do at the state level to help them out? Whichever one of you wants to start.
Let's start with Jay Schmeling. First off, the loss of the family farm that we've seen in the last 40 years is, in my opinion, the greatest social loss that our country has ever experienced. There are so many good people that have grown up on family farms, good, hardworking people. And so many things have, you know, tax incentives have gone to farms, the bigger ones that are able to operate in economies of scale that local farms are not able to. I think if we just need to focus on how we can, and I don't have any specific ideas at this point, but we need to focus on anything that we can do to keep the family farms in business that we still have.
And Tom Tiffany, any ideas on how to help the agriculture community?
Well, one thing specifically that is looks like it's going to hit agriculture is a rule called NR151, and that's a Department of Natural Resources rule that's come down on phosphorus emissions. And if that's not done right, if it's done in a draconian manner, it's going to have a real harmful effect on farms here in the state of Wisconsin. And that's the kind of thing that I will be really reviewing if elected to the state assembly to make sure that these rules that are coming down
intent. If we don't regulate phosphorus, there goes the clean water that your business depends on.
Absolutely. Once again, some people like to characterize it as you don't want regulations. Yes, we want good, sound regulations, but they also have to be done in a manner that they're not draconian and they drive people out of business. And I think we shouldn't be passing draconian rules that drive people out of business. And I think NR151 would be one of those examples.
You know, we're starting to see an emergence of what you would call artisan farming, people who are taking, you know, right from the making cheese, for instance, on their farm, or ice cream and pasteurizing their own milk. And, you know, we just need to continue down that road. I mean, those are the quintessential small farmers.
Many farmers rely on immigrant labor to get their work done. And some of these workers are here illegally. What is your stand on immigration policy, and how do we enforce our immigration laws with without causing more harm to farmers who are already struggling?
Well, anyone, whether they're working in agriculture or any other field, they do need to come here legally. I mean, it's very important that we control our borders, and they do need to come here legally.
Jay?
You know, the Constitution, it says that the federal government needs to protect our borders, and that's not happening.
1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. If you want to talk to Jay Schmeling, the Democrat, or Tom Tiffany, the Republican, both candidates who are running for the 35th Assembly District, which covers portions of Lincoln, Langlade, and Oneida counties. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with more after this.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of this station. Thanks very much.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, 1-800-780-9742. If you want to talk to Tom Tiffany, the Republican, or Jay Schmeling, the Democrat, the two candidates who are running for the 35th Assembly District. Let's talk about something that's happening downstate, this high-speed rail link that's going in between Madison and Milwaukee. The state of Wisconsin is getting $810 million from the federal stimulus package to build that rail link. It's viewed as maybe the first link in a high-speed line that would connect Chicago to the Twin Cities, and who knows, it may lead to other things throughout the state. But people are worried that the rail line, once it's built, will take money to operate, and some of that money might come from the 35th Assembly District. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that we should put impediments to it, or do you think we should put people to work as quickly as we can down in the southern part of the state? Jay Schmeling?
Well, you know, the money is going to be coming from the federal government, and I know there's a lot of people that say that we ought to turn it back because it is taxpayer money. If we do that, it's going to go somewhere else. It's still going to be our money, but it's going somewhere else. It is going to create some jobs, and I guess I tend to look at things long term. You know, when they started building the interstate system, they did the same thing. They built it from between one populated urban area to another, and they eventually began to connect those. And you know, the interstate system, as a matter of speaking, doesn't necessarily turn a profit, but it sure is important to our Northwoods communities. And I think if we start looking decades down the road, we have to begin somewhere. And there's an awful lot more people that commute a lot farther to work. And with all the technology, I just think that it needs to move forward.
Tom Tiffany?
I would vote to kill the high-speed rail line. I believe that it is a waste of money. First of all, it's not a high-speed rail line. When you think of high-speed rail, we think of like over in Europe where they're traveling 125 miles an hour or so. This is going to be top speed, 75, 80 miles an hour. People are already traveling on interstate at those speeds. They're going to have to stop at train stations where they're going to have to get a connecting ride to wherever they're going in all likelihood. It does not lend flexibility to people's lives, and I think because of that, you're going to see very low ridership as a result of that. They're already talking about the ticket is going to be about $20 to ride it. I mean, people already own an automobile. Are they going to fork out $20 to ride this so-called high-speed rail?
Let's move on to a different issue.
By the way, Glenn, I just want to add one other quick thing. It will cost Northern Wisconsin transportation dollars.
Jay, I'm going to give you a couple of quick seconds here to respond.
Simply that I look at things very long term, and we have to start someplace. There, we had the same debate years ago when they began the interstate system.
Would I hear this sometimes from conservatives saying that the government can't create jobs, can't create sustainable jobs, but yet you look at things like the high-speed rail link or the creation of the interstate highway system or teachers or police or firefighters, and it seems like you can come up with examples of government creating jobs all the time. Tom Tiffany, do you believe that the public sector can create jobs, or do you think it's only a private sector venture?
Well, you need a prospering private sector in order to fund those public investments. Certainly, jobs are created in the public sector, but it takes a thriving public sector. This is exactly why we're in a recession right now, an extreme recession, is because private industry will not invest right now. I talk to so many small business owners, and they are so fearful of spending money at this point to expand. I'll give you a quick example. There's an employer in our district, 10, 12 people it employs, nice high-tech company. They're making money. The owner of the company said, I will not expand at this point because of what I see coming down the pike from the federal and state level. He said, I just don't know what's going to hit me next.
Jay Schmeling, the role of the government in creating jobs and creating jobs through construction if need be.
Well, sure, construction jobs are kind of important to me, but long term is even more important. And I think if we just look at the expansion in commerce, in expansion in manufacturing that happened right in the Wausau area after Highway 29 became four lane all the way across the state. I think that's a pretty good example on how government's role is to set up communities so that they're able to attract new business and good-paying jobs.
Let's go back to the phones.
Glenn, can I make one point in regards to that? The interstate system is not the same as high-speed rail. It's apples and oranges.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Dennis and Merrill. Dennis, you're on Route 51. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
You're on the radio, Dennis.
Okay, thank you. The question is for Tom. I heard Jay's comment in regard to that he was a hunter and that he owned quite a few guns. My question for Tom is, how long has it been, Tom, since you've hunted or purchased a gun?
And is that really relevant to anything that we're talking about, Tom?
I think it is. I think it's relevant to the questions that were asked in regard to the DNR.
I don't hunt. I do own a gun, and what was that, about 5-6 years ago that I acquired that gun? And so does that answer your question, Dennis?
Yes, it does.
All right, Dennis, thanks so much for the phone call. What about the cost of prisons in the state of Wisconsin and the fact that a lot of our budget is going to house people in prisons? We've got a call from Dan in Rhinelander who wants us to ask that question. Is there anything we can do about this prison population, which is sucking up so many of our resources?
You know, there's probably the chair of my campaign committee is Tom Koth. And Tom has been our Lincoln County sheriff. We've elected him several times. He's retired now, but he's a Republican, and that's one thing I want to point out. But he brings a great perspective in law enforcement and on issues like that to our campaign. And we certainly can look at different ways for, you know, to differentiate between people who are a danger to society and people who commit crimes and we're mad at them. But I think if we really bring it back down to, for instance, the debate over which juvenile detention center is going to stay open, Lincoln Hills or Ethan Allen. You know, we're putting a lot of people into the adult prison system when we could be putting them in the juvenile system. And again, I look at things very long range, and we could be saving money long term because the juvenile system has a 16% recidivism rate. The adult system has, I think it's like 64%. So even though the juvenile system is more per day, it's only for a few years, and we have very few people returning to the system. Where when you put these people into that adult penitentiary, once they serve their time, most of them, the majority of them, come back.
Tom Tiffany, your thoughts on our prison population and the amount of money it's costing the state?
It's unfortunate there's so many people in prison. It's unfortunate it costs so much. If elected, I want to go see what some other states are doing. Supposedly Minnesota has a much lower cost for taking care of their prison population. I want to take a look at what some other states are doing, and hopefully we can find some ways to reform and reform how we go about doing that and be able to do the job properly with less money.
We are completely out of time. We want to thank both of you, the two candidates for the 35th Assembly District, covering portions of Lincoln, Langlade, and Oneida counties. Democrat Jay Schmeling, Republican Tom Tiffany. Voters will choose one of them to represent the district in the general election on November 2nd. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. A reminder that I'll be moderating the Wisconsin Public Radio 7th District Congressional Debate between former Ashland County District Attorney Sean Duffy and State Senator Julie Lassa. That's 7 p.m. this coming Tuesday, October 26th at the UW Marathon County Theater in Wausau. With our debate sponsors and partners, the Wausau Daily Herald, WAOW-TV9, WSAW-TV7, Kids Voting USA, and the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. And you can hear it live on the Ideas Network and also on 90.9 FM. That's it for us. Thanks for riding along with us today. Don't forget to vote on November 2nd. And until next week, we are heading out of town.